us quote this in here. Psalm chapter 3. As praying for this service, just couldn't get away from what the Lord gave me here and what He desires. I believe it's going to help someone here this morning. Amen. I believe there's going to be somebody here, maybe just one. Amen. But that's all right. That leaves here different than they come. Amen. Leaves here revived, renewed in their spirit, and what God wants to speak. Psalms chapter number 23, verse number 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word, and I thank You for Your presence, Your Spirit that we feel here already in this place. God, I just ask that You'd come by, Lord, that You'd send Your anointing. God, that You'd speak to me, speak through me this morning, God. Use me this morning, God, to reach this church. God, I pray You'd open our hearts and our ears to receive Your Word. God, push every hindrance aside. In Your precious name that we pray, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And if I could this morning, I'd like to take my text, if we can, mainly from verse number 4. David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Then Psalms chapter 30, verse 5 says, "For him, his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." If I could speak to someone here tonight, simply I will tell you this: don't die in the night. Don't die in the night. Amen. We know today that David, as he wrote this verse here and these chapters and all these great and wonderful things, we can look throughout the book of Psalms and see many encouraging things that David wrote to you and I. And we can look and we can see the good times and the bad times, the difficulties that he faced, but then the times that God was faithful to David. David knew what it was to be in the presence of God. He knew what it was to be in the good times of the Lord. But he wrote in this scripture in verse number 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And don't you know this morning that having Christ as your shepherd is the greatest decision you can ever make. Amen. Asking Him to be my Lord. Amen. To be my Savior. Come into my life. Take this old wretched man that I am stuck in the miry clay that we sung about this morning. Pull me out of this place. Fill me with Your Spirit. Make a change in my life that I can reach this world. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Amen. We look at that word, the shepherd, and we see what David was speaking. He said, "God is not only my leader, He doesn't just lead me in all these places, but He protects me. He loves me." That shepherd loved his sheep. The Bible calls him the good shepherd. Amen. Not just a shepherd, but the good shepherd. Amen. Don't you know that this morning, all of us here, you may have an occupation, and you might work at a refinery, you might do different things, or you might be a stay-at-home mother, or whatever it is, but there are some people that are good at their occupation, and then there's some that's not. That's just the fact of the matter. There's some people that just work that job in the morning, and they can't wait for the time they get off, and they don't care anything about the quality of their job. They don't care about pleasing the customers. They don't care about these things. But the Bible says that Jesus is the good shepherd. Amen. He's not just going about His day and looking and seeing you where you are and saying, "Well, I'll worry about them tomorrow. I'll worry about their problems later. I'm too busy with something else." But He's the good shepherd. Amen. He is the one that cares. He's mindful of you this morning. He's mindful of where you're at right now in this place. When we look at this shepherd, it says that He leads His sheep and fold. Amen. And I've done some study on the shepherd, and I'm sure most of you here know this, but that fold was a place that the shepherd would make for his sheep. And he would take sometimes sticks or rocks or different things that might be a cave that they had found, and they would bring them into this place, but it had one exit. You had to come in the same way that you left out. You could not get in or out in any other way. And this shepherd would lead his sheep into that fold. He would lead them into this place, and then he would place himself in between that door. He would lay down, and if he slept, he was going to sleep right in front of that door. If there was danger outside, he would not sleep.
if there was a storm, if there was lightning, if there was different things there, if there were wolves or lions or bears in the area, he was going to stay away all night long and sit at the door of that fold and protect those people. And aren't you glad tonight that Jesus didn't just leave us where we are? Aren't you glad he doesn't say that this morning, amen, you just go about your life and do what you can do, and hey, I'm back here if you need me, amen. But he says, no, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to stand in the gap for you, amen. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to be there when you call on my name. David wrote also in another verse and chapter, he said, the Lord is my shield. Amen, he's my shield. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. And he heard me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful this morning that we serve a risen Savior. A risen Savior. He hears us in this place. But Jesus is the good shepherd. The best decision that we can make this morning is that he is our shepherd. Because David said, I shall not want. I shall not want. He said, there's things in this life that I need. There's things in this life that as a shepherd myself, that I have needed. There's been low spots in my life where I couldn't make it through this place. And God was there, I shall not want. He said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He brings me to this place of nourishment, the place where I can grow. He doesn't bring me to the dead grass and the place where there's just dirt and all these things where there's no nourishment that we can't grow. But aren't you glad this morning we can come to the house of God and sing praises, and then we can lift up his name? He's brought us into a place this morning where freely we can worship him and we can lift up his name and we can be fed, amen? You don't have to leave this place dry in your spirit. You don't have to leave this place without being filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't have to leave this place not knowing the shepherd, but you can leave here fed and nourished and growing in his house because he is the shepherd this morning. Not only that, but he leads me beside the still waters, David said. He's not going to make me go and get a drink at the waters that are troubled and rough and where it's difficult and hard. He's not going to bring me to a place where there's poisonous water in there that's going to harm me. But he's going to fill me with his spirit. He told that little woman at the well, he said, if you drink from this water, you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. He leads me beside the still waters. And not only that, but he restores my soul. Amen. He restores. Have you ever been in a place where it seems you've just been beaten down? How in the world am I going to make it through this? But then all of a sudden, you come to the house of God, and they start singing that song that you needed to hear. Or pastor gets up here and starts preaching that word that you needed to hear. Young person, Brother Stephen, gets up here Wednesday night. I had a young person come to me one night, and he said, man, everything that you spoke tonight was exactly what I've been facing. That last night we spoke on breaking those invisible chains that the devil has us bound by. The things that everyone can see, we looked apart. We're here on Sunday morning, we look nice, we're dressed up, we combed our hair, we look pretty, and all these things, and got there, but we're just playing a game. Because the enemy has his phone. And the enemy said, for the person, he said, everything he said, you said things that I've said to God, and nobody else. I said, praise God, he's going to speak to you. And it's nothing in me, it's in him. He's restoring our soul. And when he restores us, he brings us to that place where he can mold us, where he can make us. Amen. He is the good shepherd this morning. I'm going somewhere, just hang with me for a little while. Jesus is your shepherd, as I said, is the greatest decision that we can make. But however, David wrote in verse number 4, he said, yea, the law. He gave us all the great and wonderful things. He said, Jesus is my shepherd. I don't want, I don't have this, I don't have problems, and I can have goodness, and he restores my soul, and all these great things. But, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that tells me this morning that this life isn't always going to be easy. It's not always going to be a walk among roses, amen. It's not going to be something where you never face a battle, you never face trouble. You know that here this morning. I know you know that. You've been through trials yourself. You've been through tribulations. You've been through a place where it seemed as you couldn't get out. But David said, yea, that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Just because we're following this shepherd this morning doesn't mean that all is going to be easy. And just because Jesus is our shepherd, that does not mean that difficulties are not going to come. That doesn't mean that tomorrow morning when you wake up, he's not going to be right there knocking on your door saying, hey, I've come to destroy you. Hey, I've come to take your children. I've come to make you sick. I've come to bring death your way. Whatever it might be, I've come to ruin your marriage. Because David said, though I walk, I'm going to walk through a valley. I'm going to go through a difficult place in my life. David knew what it was to walk in the good times, and he knew what it was to be in the bad times. You see, David knew what it was to defeat that giant, but he also knew what it was to lose a child. He knew what it was to be tempted. He knew what it was to face a giant, the scariness, the lion, the bear. David knew what it was to walk in that valley of the shadow of death. But he said, God remains faithful. He remains faithful to us. You know, a lot of you here know our testimony and the different things that I'll just very briefly share because just the Lord laid this on my heart this morning. I couldn't get away from this. But you know, a lot of you know about how just a little around 2 years ago, we were getting ready to have our third child coming out. We were pregnant and something went wrong with it. And my wife and I went to the doctor there and he couldn't find the heartbeat. And at 17 weeks, we lost this baby. We had to go in and deliver this child. Plan a funeral and bury him there. And that was one of the difficult times in my life. The most difficult thing I'd ever been through in my life. So I was in that valley of the shadow of death. God, where are you? I'm faithful. God, I believe I'm faithful. I pay my tithes. I preach. God, I work for you. I try to help everybody. I'm thankful to missions and I give to guest speakers when they come. And I do everything that I know that you might try to justify with my words. God, I do this and I do that. Where are you? Why is this happening? And as we were there and this difficult time happened that we went through this, I shared Lily this at camp and we were there and in this valley of the shadow of death, in a difficult place, and all the things conspired and we went and we had this funeral and all these things and Sunday morning come around and we're getting ready to go to church and I told my wife, I said, the enemy had come in and he was tired of this morning. And I said, how can I get up and sing praises? How can I do it? How can I sing praises to him this morning with all of you? And I got up behind that pulpit getting ready to sing and just his presence come around me. I've never felt it before, never felt it like this since, but it just felt like somebody come up, just put their arms around me. And the words of that song come to me, Jesus, I love you because you care. I couldn't imagine if you weren't there. Hallelujah. I was in that place and the enemy said, you're going to die. Right here. You're going to die in this place. Your ministry is going to be ruined. You're going to lose your family. Amen. He said, I'm going to cause strife between you and your wife, between this situation. There's going to be problems that are going to come up. Things are going to happen. You're going to ruin your ministry. God's not going to be able to use you anymore because I'm going to harden your heart toward him. And you know what? I could have sat down right there, Brother Stephen. I could have, but some people would have said, you're justified in it. You know, where is God? Some would have said that I could have sat down right there and I could have died in that dark place. I could have said, God, no longer do I want to sing for you. No longer do I want to preach for you. No longer do I care to feel your presence because of what's going on in my life, because of this dark place. But in the midst of that darkness, Christ reminded me, I love you. I care about you. Yes, this is happening. I'm sorry it's happening, but I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be with you through the middle of this trouble. I'm going to carry you through this difficult place in your life. And let me tell you this morning, folks, you might be in that place when it seems the enemy is fighting you on every side. Everything you try to do, you try to lift your hands and he tells you to let them back down. You try to come to the house of God and he defeats you and you stay at home. You try to come to prayer meetings, but he says, why show up? Because many aren't going to be there. Or God's presence is going to be there. You try to work for God and it's like there's a roadblock. Every time you try to do something, he's trying to keep you in that place this morning. But then I tell you, don't you die in that place. Don't you stop. Don't you give up on the Lord. Don't you give up on him because he's in that place with you. Amen. He's in that place. There's a song I love to hear and it says he's still in the fire and he's walking in the flames. Amen. He didn't leave those three Hebrews. The Bible says that three went in and four were in there, but only three came back out. So that tells me this morning, he's still there waiting for you to go through that difficulty, waiting for you to come to that place where the enemy's ready for you because what he's going to do is this right here. You got to come through it. But you're going through it. You're going through it. Hallelujah. We must go into the mountains sometimes. We must go through those difficult places. You know, we thought that's the most difficult life, and then all the problems that we've had with Logan. You know, when we were here and in the winter retreat, we shared some of that with you guys, but as we were there, I thought I said this a lot at youth camp, but I'll never forget. They kind of give me that because it's a man, you don't forget a lot of things. But as we were there, and my wife, she just had this feeling come upon her. She said, I don't feel right. And we were at the graveyard where our son and my grandparents are buried for a memorial kind of day. And she said, something's not right. Something just don't feel right. And I said, well, you know, you haven't had much water to drink today, or, you know, we need something to eat, so let's go get something to eat. So we went home, she took a nap. And we went and ate dinner with my mom that night, and I just knew it. She was eating Mexican food, so that baby's going to start flipping. All them spices. But we're sitting there at the table, and all of a sudden she gives me a look that I still sometimes get in my mind. She just gives me this look. There's that same look that she had when we was there in the hospital. And I said, okay, let's go to the emergency room. And as we were there in Livingston, which was the scariest thing about the whole thing, had to deliver this child there in Livingston, emergency C-section. They said he's in distress. We don't know why. We don't know what's going on. I had to almost fight with the doctors to tell us something and find out what's going on. And they said, we've got to get him out now. And as they went in and they pulled our little son out, and there was no breath, there was no cry, there was nothing. And all we could do was say that name. And we kept having to say this morning, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We're there, and there's nurses looking at us, and they're just kind of looking at me, just, Jesus. 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 And, oh, Jesus. Please help us, Jesus. Oh, just let me breathe, Jesus. Kill that. There's power in that name. They say, you know, sometimes you don't know what to say, you don't know what to pray, you don't know how to ask for what you need, but when you say that name, Jesus, oh, he understands. He knows what you're saying. He knows what you're calling out for, Jesus. All I need you to do something is they were there doing test compressions on that little boy, and a nurse was bounding in there trying to get life to come, and we're just there praying and praying. I couldn't say anything else, just praying to the Lord. Praying to the Lord. I look at that nurse, I'm watching the whole thing. My wife can't see anything because of the curtain and all that, and we're just praying and believing God, Brother John, and saying, God, I know you're able to do this. Please don't let this happen again. Please don't let it happen again. Jesus, please heal him. And all of a sudden, I look at this nurse, and she looks at her wife and just touches the doctor on the hand. That's all we can do. And I watch this little man, who I found out later attends an Assembly of God church there in Livingston. He pushed that nurse out of the way. He's a little bitty guy. He pushed that nurse out of the way. He grabbed that bag from her hand, and he started doing it all himself. And he just came out in about 10 seconds. I heard the sweetest sound I've ever heard in my life. As that little boy began to cry. He began to cry. And said, oh, thank you, Jesus. We began to praise the Lord there in that place. We began to praise God and thank him for what he had done. And all of that, we thought everything was going to be wonderful now. It's going to be great, but the enemy still had a plan, and God still had to be exalted. Amen. The enemy still decided to destroy us. God came in and made a way, and as most of you know, he was in there, and he was breathing fine, and all of a sudden, he just quit breathing. They had to put him on one of those little halo things, and they said, we've got to lifeline him to our Houston. We've got to get him to a NICU unit, or he's not going to make it. And for 39 days, we sat in that NICU unit. He was there. 39 days. I was there for a week with him. Every day I'd look at those nurses and doctors, and they never tell me anything. And they told me as we looked out of there, they said, we thought he was one of those that wasn't going home. We knew when he got here, he wasn't going home. But one Sunday morning, let me tell you, God's still in a miracle working business. You believe it this morning? God's saying, he doesn't do it just for me, amen. He'll do it for you this morning. He'll do it for you the same as he's done it for me, the same as he's done it for many of you already in this place this morning. We went there, and I was there for a week. My wife came, and all these things, and there was no change. He wouldn't open his eyes. He wouldn't even hardly move around. He wouldn't do nothing. They're feeding him through his belly button. He's intubated because he can't breathe, and they took him off and put him back on, and it was just a roller coaster thing going on, man. Every day, one of those things happened. Well, Brittany got to go down there, and one day she was busy, and she said, they're letting me hold it. I said, oh, hallelujah. You know, I got to get down there. Well, a gentleman I worked with had passed away, and the funeral was in Houston. So I went down to the funeral, and I said, man, it was on Sunday. I said, I'm going to miss church tonight, because I'm going to stop by, and I'm going to hold my baby. I ain't got to hold him yet. Brother Turner, as I walked in that place, and that NICU, you know, those of you that have been in one, you got to go through so many things. Wash your hands for 10 minutes. Go here, do this, sign me. All these great, it's good that they do it that way. It seemed like it took forever for me to get back to him. And he was around this little corner. He had to walk in a hallway. Brother Stephen, as I walked around that corner, This nurse that would hardly look me in the eye. I ran to that corner. She's right about where you were, sister. She looked at me, and she just smiled so big. And she said, "Oh, Mr. Brown, I was hoping you was coming today." And I'm like, "Why? What? You know, what's going on?" Well, that morning, amen, we were there at church, and before we left, the pastor said, "Hey, just before we leave, I don't know why, but we're going to pray for Logan again." We had prayer for him already in the service in our prayer time, but he said, "I want Brother Justin and Sister Benny to come up here, and we're going to lay hands on them. We're going to believe them. I know this church is praying and believing for a miracle. I know there was churches all over this country and even around the world that were praying and believing for Logan because of what God could do and was going to do in his life. But as we prayed that morning, we believed and we prayed, and I left, and that little lady is around that corner. She said, 'Mr. Brown, I don't know how to explain it, but she said, this morning, about mid-morning, she said, Logan just decided I'm going to get better.' She said, he reached up and he grabbed that innovative tube and he yanked it out and he didn't want it no more. He began to breathe on his own." She said, "We gave him a bottle for the first day. Gave him a bottle." I said, "Well, I know what happened." She said, "About mid-morning," I said, "I know exactly what happened. There was a little church in Livingston, Texas, but there was churches all around this world this morning. They began to call on the name of the Lord. Begin to say, down in a valley, we're in a place of need this morning, but we've got a God that's bigger than this problem. We've got a God that's bigger than this situation, and he's able to bring us out. Don't you die in that place, church. Don't you die in that difficulty. Don't you give up on God, because he can bring you out. He can bring you out of that place. Lord, go on a walk through the valley." David said, "Yes, I'm going to walk, but even though I do, he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful this morning. Hallelujah." You know, I think about this many times, but sometimes we've got to move up to a new level in God. If we stay where we are, we're going to go dry. It's going to become normal. It's just going to be the same old thing. We come to church, they say this, but we sit down. And as the preacher, so we listen. Calls all the time, we come down, pray for a little while, and then we go home the exact same way we come. It becomes the same routine for us. But God is wanting to do something so much more in our lives. Amen. He didn't say you just sit on a church pew. He didn't save you, amen, just to pray and read the Bible in church. He didn't save you just for yourself, but he said, go ye into all the world. And for, you know, if it wasn't for somebody preaching to you, if it wasn't for a pastor, amen, that's preaching to you, or somebody that come to your house, or maybe somebody witnessed to you where you were, then you probably wouldn't be here this morning. Only that we would do that for someone else. Amen, somebody that's out there in that valley, somebody that's out there in that dark place. You know, David, he went in there. That day he come into that place, and as he looked out at that Philistine that was there, and he was looking at him and wondering, he went into that place, and he was able to slay a lion and a bear. He went in that place able to do that, but you know, he left that place a giant slayer. He left that place something different in God because he was willing to say, "God, I'm a willing vessel. God, I'm obedient this morning. Whatever you want to do with me, whatever you want to do in my life, I'm willing, God. Just bring me out of this place. Bring me into this place this morning." You might have found yourself this morning in that place. But God's saying, "I can bring you out. I can bring you out of this place." So sometimes we have to go into the night. We have to. But we cannot be overwhelmed with what we can't see. We can't be overwhelmed with what we can't see. Most of you here know my wife, have known her longer than even I've known. Raised there in Port Nature's, Texas. We were talking about this last night. Houses right beside each other. Concrete driveways everywhere. Paved roads all over the place. One tree in each yard. That's it. But when she moved to Livingston, Texas, dirt roads. Yards, not, what's the other word for it? Strip of grass. Not lawns, thank you. Not lawns, yards. And she was raised in what I considered the city. And she moved to the country. Well, there's an attribute that I have that she still has not developed because I lived there all of my life, and that's being able to see in the dark. And I can see pretty well in the dark. I mean, we'll go outside and I can, you know, my eyes will adapt and I'm seeing. I don't know. I guess just for being a kid running around the woods, you do that. Well, it never failed. When she would come and the different houses we live in, especially at my mom's place, because she has the worst driveway, I think, in Livingston, Texas. There's potholes everywhere. So we'll be walking along and she's, wait, wait, wait. I'm going to hold my hand and me leaving. But if she She's all by herself. She walks out there and she's scared to death. She's going to step in a water hole. The snake's going to get her. Something's going to come out. I told her we had bobcats. I heard one night and now she was scared to death. Bobcats. Oh, I don't want to go outside. She's scared to death of what she can't see. You know? And I go out there and I'm like, there's one toy there. There's one there. There's one there. Oh, hang on, there's something there. You know, I can see what's there, but it became such a fear in her heart that, I mean, she didn't even want to, she still doesn't like to go outside in the night, even with the flashlight, because there's things that we can't see. That's how we are. You know, there's rules down there that if you drive down and you know there's going to be deer that are going to come out, and you're going to have to watch for them. You can't see that, but that doesn't mean that you can't go out. That doesn't mean that you can't come through that place. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We're not promising even tomorrow. We don't know what's going to face us tomorrow morning when that alarm clock goes off. We've got to get up and go to work or go wherever we're going to go. But that doesn't mean we just stay and lay in the bed because we're worried about what's going to happen. No. We wake up. We believe God. Say, God, keep me through it. Whatever comes my way, you bring me through. You help me. You give me strength. Encourage me, God. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know you're going to bring me through this. Christ told Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He desires to destroy you this morning. He desires to bring you to a place of fear, but the Bible also declares that God has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a smiling mind. He hasn't given us that spirit of fear. And then yet the enemy comes, and he's powerful. He's mighty. Make no mistake, he is a mighty adversary. And then we talk about that a lot this week with the young people, how he knows exactly where to get you. He knows exactly what bothers you, what causes you to stumble and fall. But the Bible also says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Amen. Yes, you have to go into the night. Yes, you have to face difficulties. But the Bible says that he was a liar from the beginning. He was a liar from the beginning. Amen. When he speaks into you, you know what that tells me this morning? Anything he's been telling me, anything he's been whispering in my ear, all I've got to do is believe the opposite. And then when he comes to me and says, hey, you're going to lose your job. I'm going to ruin your finances. Well, God's going to be faithful. I'm going to get a promotion. Hallelujah. I'm going to ruin your marriage. All me and my wife are going to be greater than we've ever been. I'm going to kill your kids. Oh, they're going to be called into the ministry. God's going to use them. Everything he's been whispering in your ear. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to ruin what God has in your life. All you've got to say is, God, I know you're going to bring me through this darkness. I know you're going to bring me through what the devil's fighting me with. And you're going to bring me to somewhere greater than I've ever been before. He says Satan desired to have you that he may seek you. But Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail me. That's what it's all about this morning. Faith. Faith. That's why you're here this morning. That's why we're gathered in this building. Amen. Because of faith that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, took up an old rugged cross and died for you and I, was resurrected on that third day, and is coming back again. Amen. That's why we're here. Faith. What did he tell that little woman with the issue when she came to him? He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. That centurion that was there praying for his daughter and told Christ, he said, you just speak the word, and she'll be healed. He said, no greater faith have I seen. Amen. Faith. This morning, those four friends that gathered together and carried their friend to Jesus. That's your faith, amen. That's your faith. I heard one preacher, he preached on, and I thought this was the greatest of inventions of faith. And I thought about that for a little while, and he said, you know, our faith can invent new things in our life. No one had ever been carried to Christ on a cot by carrying off a roof until those four guys had the faith to give to Jesus. You think about that this morning. Your faith can bring you to places you've never been before and bring you through things that you never thought you'd get through. You know, many times we feel like we're in the same place that Daniel was. God has been faithful. I could have done wrong. I could have given up on you, and I remain faithful. Why am I in this situation? And I read this, I've heard the story of Daniel since I was just a child in children's church and Sunday school. But I read this not too long ago, and, you know, it's like I've always heard. It's a living word of God, amen. So I believe it was Brother Kearns or Brother Kimmel, and they said, I believe God stepped into my window last night and wrote that in, because I've never read that before. You know, have you ever been like, you know, you've read that scripture so many times, but all of a sudden God just, boom, and it sticks out to you. And I was reading this in Daniel, and it says, then the king commanded, and he brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king stood with his own city, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, neither with instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. When he came to the den, he called with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Now you listen to these next three words. Then said Daniel. You can stop right there. You can stop right there. The fact that he was even able to speak, he should have been torn to pieces. He should have been destroyed in that den of lions. So when they cried out, Lord Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest to able to deliver? Well, I guess it's over. He's dead. Then said Daniel. I believe Daniel come out of that place, and the Bible says that he started to pray, oh God, there's not even a hair on my head that's harmed. My God has delivered me. Daniel cried out, I believe he said, oh devil, you should have killed me in the night because the sun's coming up. Amen. You should have killed me in that dark place because my God has come through. My God's brought me through this place. I come to tell you this morning, you might be in that den of lions. You might be in that dark place this morning, and the enemy might almost have you destroyed, but the sun's coming up. Amen. We read in that scripture, he said, joy comes in the morning. We three may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. I believe we're going to be here much longer, church. I'm 29 years old, and I've been hearing it preached all night. But I believe we're closer than we've ever been to that joy coming. When the Lord parts those evil clouds and says, come on home. Come on home. What the devil meant for evil, God's going to make it good. God's going to make it good this morning. We talked about Peter on that Monday morning. I'm trying to hear you. We talked about Peter on that Monday night service. About making a decision no longer to be wishy-washy for God. As Peter denied Christ in that place where he was falling away because he allowed distance to get between him and Christ in this place. But what the devil meant for evil, God made it good. Satan tried to destroy his testimony, but we find just a few days later, Peter was in an upper room. He was in a place in one mind, one accord, and that sweet Holy Ghost come through. Amen. Aren't you glad to be Pentecostal this morning? Hallelujah. I want to go now. We don't just come here and we just hear a little bit. And I get excited about the Lord. Amen. I get excited when people start talking about what He's done and how He's saved and how He's filled and what He's done. I get excited talking about myself, what God's done for me. Amen. I just can't help but get excited. I'm glad to be Pentecostal this morning, filled with the Holy Ghost, with that power that He gives us. Amen. To lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. And Peter was there. The devil meant to destroy him, brought him to that place where he was beaten down. But just a few days later, God filled him with His Spirit, and the same man that denied Christ because of this little woman began to preach to thousands. Thousands and lives were changed because he came out of that place. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas were in this prison here, and as they began to pray and sing praises, the Bible says that this earthquake came and shook the place where they were, and the doors were open, the chains were broken. And the guard that was there says he cried out and was getting ready to take his life. Took his sword, he was getting ready to take his life. Paul cried out, wait, we're through here. And they began to pray with that man. And he was saved. Paul and his family, they were saved. What the devil means for evil this morning, church, God's going to be glorified. God's going to be glorified. Amen. My wife, she was diagnosed with endometriosis. She didn't know if we were going to have kids. I got three sitting back there. God's glorified. My little girl, she developed bad asthma when she was a small child. Bad asthma. There was times where she would get to a place where she just could not breathe. And it scared us quite a few times. She was turning, I'll never forget it. One night, she literally turned blue and purpleish. We got the inhaler and got her calmed down. You know what, today, she hadn't had an inhaler in almost 4 years. God healed her. God, some will say, oh, she just grew out of that. No, I believe God healed her. Jace back there, you know, I just shared my testimony. We'd go around this room and share what God's done. Jace, my little 3-year-old boy, when he was born, I know many of you remember, when he was born, his shoulder blade was broken, and it messed up those muscles, and they said he was going to have what's called Erb's palsy, and he would never have the use of that left arm, that he may never crawl, he may never pull up, he may never be able to do anything, and for, I believe it was almost 6 months of his life, where he had to pin his arm. We had to put a pin on his arm and pin his arm to his clothes because it didn't have a sling small enough. I was trying to help it. And I remember we went for one of his checkups. I believe it was a 6-month checkup or 1 of the month checkups. And we were there and they did an X-ray on his arm. They were really sick and they said, you need to go to Houston right now and schedule a surgery because this arm hasn't changed at all since he was born. They said, we're looking at the one that was taken today, was born in the limb now, and it's exactly the same. It's still broken. His tendons are messed up. It looks worse. So my wife calls me at work. We get in the car. We drive to Houston. I send out some text messages to people. Hey, call everybody you know and pray. Hey, call this person and pray. I need y'all to pray. We don't want this baby to have surgery. We get to Houston there. We go in. The nurses are there with us, and they're getting ready to pin. And one of the ladies says, let me do one more x-ray. I just want to make for certain what we're looking at here, because we can't find the ones we're living to. Well, that's fine. That's fine. Let's do another one. God lost that one for him. Let's get him in and done surgery. Has that lady come out of this scene like Brother Michael was saying? We were there for hours. We was waiting. Brother Danny and Sister Janie was in there with us. We're waiting, and finally this lady comes out. And she asks us the craziest question. Why am I going here? His shoulder's broke. We're planning surgery. We're planning a surgery. What do you got in your hand? Well, I've got 2 x-rays. We finally found the one from Livingston. And I don't know if this is the same thing. Come on. I saw God. We looked at that x-ray. She said, this one was taken this morning in Livingston. And we just took this. And I'm going to tell you that x-ray. I still got the picture somewhere. We took pictures of it. And it didn't even look like it was ever broken. You know how you look at a bone and you can see that little imperfection where it healed? That wasn't even there. That little boy today, he's got an arm on him. God didn't just heal that arm. He's made it ambidextrous. I used to say it was left-handed, but he'll take the ball and he'll throw it as hard as he can. He'll run, he'll pull it up. Oh, that's from God this morning, sir. That's what the devil meant for evil. You know, I tell that testimony everywhere I go. What the devil meant for evil, God has turned it around and made it good. You might be in that place this morning. You might be in that difficult situation. And he said, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to ruin your ministry with God's want to do in your life, but I'm going to come against your children, but God's going to have the final say. God's going to have the final say. You remain faithful to him, and he will be faithful to you. What are you looking at again? Oh, I could talk all morning about what God's done in his eyes, what he's done in his brain. That little boy ain't supposed to be here. If you've seen him yet, you've seen him from the church. We'll be right here. He's still by his feet. Sweetest little smile. He's my joy. I love all my kids, but that little smile. And he loves sex, and he loves church. When we start singing, you see his little head start moving. He loves church. He loves preaching. But he says, every time I preach, if he's not sleeping like he is now, he's watching it. Listen, he loves the Lord at this young age. But he wasn't supposed to be here. He's here. We went to his first neuro-ophthalmologist appointment, and they said he has no vision in this one eye. And he had 40% vision in this other eye. So I gave him the glasses. We go back about 6 months, brother, and the doctor's sitting there with my wife, and he's looking at my eyes and all this stuff. And she said, he goes, he just leaned back. He said, I can't explain it. He has 100% vision in this eye. They said, this can't be healed. The brain cannot heal itself. Is the exact words they said. His vision will never get better. Completely. 100% vision. He said, this eye's just a little bit blurry. It's a little bit blurry. The brain can't heal itself up there. But he's doing it. He's doing it. God said he's still working in him this morning. Amen. He's still doing the work. I believe he's going to continue. We've been praying about all these different things. I know those of you that follow my wife on Facebook, she's all the time posting different prayers. Pray for himself feeding. Yesterday, I watched him feed himself a whole can of little things that they said he's not going to be able to teach himself. And he's feeding himself all these things. God's working in him. God's doing the work. We thought this was going to be a dark place. faith and the enemy was going to destroy us. But all along, God was building us up. Amen. Through this little life, God's building my faith. Through this little life, God's making me pray more, making me seek His face more, bringing me to a greater place than I was in the first place. God is going to receive glory this morning. You might be in this place and you might say, Brother Justin, it's exactly what you preached for. I've been fighting. I struggle to live for God. I struggle to do a work for God. I struggle with everything that I do. And it seems as though He's just calling me. We've got to hold on to what He's promised us this morning. We read in that scripture, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. I've got one story, and then we're going to close here. I remember hearing a story about a man named Henry Dempsey. And on September 3rd in 1987, he was flying a small commuter plane. And they heard a rattling in the cockpit. Him and his co-pilot were there, and they heard this strange noise. So he hands to his co-pilot, and he takes over. And as Mr. Dempsey was walking to the back to find what this noise was, they hit turbulence, and it knocked him into the door. And the door was one of the fold down with the steps. And as he was thrown into that door, the door came open, and he went out the plane. His co-pilot was there, and immediately as he saw what happened, he made it in and said, my pilot has fallen out of the plane. They were above an ocean there, and he said, I don't know if he's lived or died, but we're so high up, there's no way he could have lived. So they sent out the Coast Guard staff, search and rescue, and they began to look for this man as his co-pilot tried to land this plane. And as he landed the plane, the story says, and this is a true story, you can look this up. As he landed the plane, he looked back and he saw that Mr. Dempsey was hanging on to the door of that plane. He was gripped on to the door of this plane, cruising at 190 miles per hour, 4,000 feet in the air, for over 10 minutes. This man clung to the door. He landed that plane, and they called the Coast Guard, and they said, we found him, he's here. And they come to him and rendered aid to him, who was a little beat up, and he was sore, and all he had, no broken bones that I read, just kind of beat up. And they said, Mr. Dempsey, as the reporters come to him, they said, what was going through your mind as you clung to that door for your life? And he said, only one thing came to my mind, hold on or die. Hold on or die. If you let go of this plane, there's no question, you're going to die. Church, we've got to get that mentality this morning. Hold on or die. I'm going through a rough patch, God. I don't feel your presence like I used to. The enemy is almost defeated. Hold on or die. Don't you die in the night. Don't you give up in that place. Don't you give up in that difficult situation. You know why? Because then the devil wins. Then the devil wins. Hallelujah. If David would have given up in the valley, he would have never made it to the house of the Lord. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, thou preparest a table. With the woman, we talked about that the other night, how he's prepared a table for us, a blessing. In the presence of mine enemies, anoint as my head with oil, my cup runneth over, for his surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I could ask you this morning a silly question, but who wants to go to hell? Nobody. Don't give up. Don't you die in that place. Don't allow the enemy to defeat you. If you stand with me across this place.